It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Hey, everybody. Joe Costello back. What's up, WFO? How's everybody doing out there? Those of you watching live on YouTube, our WFO Radio TV YouTube channel, thank you so much. Subscribe, click the bell. Facebookers, hello, and how are you doing this beautiful week as we get closer and closer to the Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals? If you're watching out there on Twitter, welcome to you. I'm Joe Costello, fresh back from Orlando Speed World, the first race of the 70th anniversary season of the National Hot Rod Association. The Southeastern Division's got points leaders already in the books. It was great, good times. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. NHRA's Alan Reinhardt is going to be joining us just moments from now, and we'll talk about the Super Bowl and Tom Brady being the greatest of all time, and what did he think of the game and the commercials and all of that. But of course, the big breaking news in the world of NHRA drag racing, what's out there. We might even have a surprise guest, maybe, or you never know what's going to happen on WFO Radio. So definitely stick with us and be ready. I do want to tell you a couple of things that are going on this week. For instance, tomorrow, as in Wednesday, for those of you listening in the future, if it's Thursday, you've missed it, but you'll be able to go back and find it on the website or on Facebook. Leah Pruitt will be on WFO Radio, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. We will connect with Leah and get her thoughts on the start to the 2021 Camping World Drag Racing season and how excited she is to go after it again. And Leah will be on the show from Don Schumacher Racing. Also, I got a call into Tobler to talk with Ron later on this week about the retirement and his great career, all of that, these things on the schedule. We are just all working it out here on WFO Radio Live. And that's the thing. We're on a couple of times a week, and that's why you want to like our Facebook page and subscribe and click the bell on YouTube and download our free mobile app and all of the WFO stuff so you never miss a show and you never miss what is going to happen. And one thing before we get into it with Alan and I tell you about our great sponsors, that Tom Patsis built trophy that sits behind me, made out of parts from Don Schumacher Racing Nitro cars and Hendrick Motorsports stock cars driven by Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt Jr. and even IndyCar parts made from Penske Racing parts put together by Tom Patsis from Cold Hard Art prior to his celebrity status, right? Like we got in early on that. That is our WFO Radio Fantasy League trophy. And each year, the winner of our Fantasy NASCAR League, it's NASCAR, but I still love it. Been doing it since 2007. So it is a legacy benchmark of WFO Radio back to our satellite radio days. The winner in each year's champion's name goes on that trophy. If you would like to try to compete for that, all the Fantasy League information is on the WFO Radio Ignition podcast right at the start. First 10 minutes, we give the website, the username, the password, the ID, all the things you need to do. And the whole show is composed and comprised of various smack talk. There's a championship belt. There's the trophy. Everybody thinks they're going to win. I'm pretty certain I'm not going to win because it's very hard, very challenging league with multiple Hall of Famers and experts. We even got a Grammy Award winner in there. So there you go. But if you want to be a part of our WFO Radio Fantasy League, which has been going now for many, many, many years, you can check it out on the Ignition Show. And that will give you the information. Now, real quick, before we get to Alan, these are the people who make it all possible for me to do this show as often as we do. Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, totalseal.com. We got a new and next episode of Hidden Horsepower, get ready to drop. But it's an exercise about piston rings. And are they important? And yes, they are important. Total Seal was one of the sponsors of the NHRA.TV broadcast out there. 40% of an engine's friction is right in the piston rings. Did you know that? And that's what Total Seal does. They take that number and they make it lower. And that's how you find the hidden horsepower. Go to totalseal.com to find out more information. Also, Marvin Rodak, rodakscoffeeandgrills.com, the hot sauces and the spice rubs and everything good. I always love seeing one of our WFO radio listeners order Rodak's for the very first time. And one of our listeners named Jim tweeted out a couple of days ago, and he said it was the best cup of coffee he'd ever had in his entire life, or certainly in many years. And that's what I've been saying, but it's really hard for me to drive home that message, how much I enjoy the products over there. And Marvin is a racer and he is heavily involved. 817-924-6821, and a big supporter of Funny Car Chaos as well. And they've got a big event. They're gonna have like 55 funny cars on the grounds. at Texas Motorplex. 55 funny cars. Say what? Call Marvin. 817-924-6821. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Start your education at full speed. If you want to become a machinist, and, you know, maybe end up on hidden horsepower, start it off with samtech.edu. And, of course, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure. They've got one right after the Gator Nationals, March 19th. Go to frankhawley.com to find out more information. And the idea that you can drive a dragster, just being a fan, show up with nothing, no equipment, no helmet, just the clothes on your back, and have a full day experience driving dragsters. To me, that's super fun. Did you know that five of the champions from last year were graduates from Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School? Five. That's pretty impressive. FrankHawley.com. Shout out to NitroFish. They still got the promo code WFO20 rocking. You want to get our 10th anniversary t-shirt? There were a couple of them out there at Orlando Speed World. And finally, if you want to get a face covering or some WFO radio stickers for your car like this, just $10, I'll send you the face covering right from the WFOradio.com website. You can use PayPal. You can use a credit card right there in the WFO store. Just like that. Now it's time to head out Tucson, Arizona. Find out what's up with my bud, the voice of the NHRA. Oh my God, there you go. That's, I think, a little more than 40% on that one. Alan Reinhart. No.
This is not a pro stock piston ring. Just want to let everybody know that. Total Fuel piston ring. But this is not a pro stock piston ring. And just for those of you that are wondering, it's not a pro stock motorcycle piston ring either.
Wow.
Because you're going to need a heck of a compressor to get this in that cylinder.
Over your head, Alan? I'm just wondering, will that fit over your head?
Even without the hat, sure.
There it is. Just it was just a head test. It's like a head gauge. And your head is still manageable, Alan. See?
This is a pro stock motorcycle piston ring, and it will not.
No, you little angel. It's like the halo right over your head. Fantastic. What's up, Alan? How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I won the Super Bowl, and you sucked. I was trying to be, you know.
Yeah, you're trying to be delicate right there.
Yeah, delicate. Let's go with delicate.
To ease into it. Yeah, no, I saw it wrong. And most everybody saw it right, though. I did a Facebook Live from Orlando, and 80% was all going Brady, Brady, Brady. And I just felt like Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and they were the defending Super Bowl champs, and they would bring it, and they did not bring it. And Tom Brady brought it, and he's the greatest of all time. And you got to respect the greatness. No other way to say it.
Well, I think, you know, Brady certainly, I believe, is the greatest of all time, certainly at his position.
Yes.
And, you know, the numbers bear that out. But Tom Brady's not the reason that the Chiefs didn't score a touchdown. I mean, credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
They bought a defense to shut down a guy that had not been shut down in 2 years. And I think that's where, you know, the majority of the credit should go. I thought the most interesting stat was the first game they played, 10 weeks ago in the regular season, Kansas City jumped out to a huge lead. And then they ended up winning the game in overtime. But they said that after whatever it was a 3-touchdown lead or something, if I'm not mistaken. And like from the second quarter of that game until the end of the Super Bowl, that Tampa Bay outscored them 58-10 or some ridiculous number like that. I mean, it was so, you know, at some point in the first game, Tampa figured something out. And then apparently nobody else figured it out. And they definitely employed it in the Super Bowl. But I think, you know, for all the credit that Tom Brady should get, which is a chunk, he's not the reason that that Kansas City didn't score any points. I expected that thing to be a shootout. I really expected it to be, you know, 35-30 or something. But I'll take it. As long as my team wins, I'm a happy guy.
There it is. Well, I'm a Miami Dolphin fan. I did not have a team in this game, but that's for the future. We'll be there someday. I will say, you know, we really did a deep dive analysis on the Ignition show, but Mahomes was running for his life. Like, this guy was not getting any time. And what do they say, right? The fundamentals of the game. Games are won in the trenches. And Tampa's defensive line just totally overwhelmed Kansas City's offensive line. And also critical moments of mistakes, like a couple of balls hitting receivers in the face mask, like catch the ball, man. The face mask almost caught the ball. It almost stuck right in there and they dropped the ball. Critical penalties. Like, you got Brady, it's going to be fourth down. Oh, nope. Penalty. give them another four downs, having to re-kick on a punt. The first one was a boomer. The second one was a muff. Just countless mistakes early in the game. And that's just how you lose. And it also translates to drag racing. You say it all the time. If your opponent gives you an opening and you don't take the opportunity, you know, Tony Schumacher goes up in smoke and you go up in smoke alongside and he pedals the car and wins the race. Well, you had your shot early in the game. They had opportunities and they made big critical errors and fundamentals of the game. And that's why they lost. And let Brady do his thing. Let the defense really play tough. And it was it. It was pretty much a blowout.
Yeah, the one thing that, and there was a lot of it on social media, and the penalty thing that you mentioned, there were a couple of those fouls that you look at and kind of go, but, and I looked at this just because I got into a little sniping thing with a friend of mine here. Kansas City, over the course of the season, was tied for third most defensive holding or pass interference penalties in the league.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay wasn't. So, you know, it's not like they just all of a sudden started calling things on Kansas City that hadn't been calling. It's like all year long, they've been playing right up against the edge, so to speak. You know, if you know that, okay, you can touch the guy with one hand, but you can't touch him with two, then they were kind of, you know, the whole time.
Yes.
And the fact that they called penalties on him in the Super Bowl, it's the same penalties that they called on him that they had been committing all season long. And, you know, if it comes down to, okay, it's a 2-point game, then I think you can say, well, you know, it was the penalties that made the difference. But when it comes down to, you never scored a touchdown, I don't think that you can blame that on the fact that you got a couple of defensive penalties that maybe you could argue about, maybe you couldn't. But it's the same thing that they've been calling against Kansas City all year. So anyway, go ahead.
I never gave credit to those theories anyway. You know, like, oh, the refs. Listen, that's not a story. That game was over when Kansas City didn't punch it in for a touchdown in the first drive of the third quarter. There it was. Game over. And it was just the coronation of Brady, who has now won more Super Bowls as an individual than any other franchise has won in the National Football League. And so, like, that's that. But hey, speaking of championships and speaking of greatness and speaking of big breaking news and surprise guests, I've got a surprise for us, Alan. I've got a surprise.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
What, greatness or surprise?
Yeah. Well, greatness, champion, wonderful personality.
Yeah, one of these things just doesn't belong here. which one is it? I don't know. I'll let everybody think about it while we bring Angel onto the show. Speaking of big breaking news and a three-time champ, Angel, welcome to WFO Radio. What a fantastic surprise. You've got big breaking news that we're going to hear about here on WFO. You're back in 2021. How cool is that?
Where'd she go?
She's just like frozen in time.
Can you see me? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, now we can.
Okay, let me try something real quick. Hold on.
Oh, she's trying
hold on.
Stuff,
I'm
Alan.
Gonna
she's
switch my
stuff.
Hold on.
Switching things.
Don't go away. Can you hear me?
I hear
What's
you.
What's the matter? They don't have internet in the bayou yet.
Okay. That's what it is. It's on dial-up. Yes, sorta. But we see you. You're there. Everybody, share the show. It's Angel going live. Moderate to high level technical difficulties.
Is that better? Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we hear you. I hear you, Angel.
Hey,
I can hear you.
Yes.
You not hear us?
I guess not. But you know what? You just dive right back in. That's what you do with this program. You just keep coming back. And everybody knows that the record for retries on this show is TJ Zizzo with 511. And so Angel is only on try number two. But
do
let's
they not have internet yet in Chicago either. Is that the deal? What's the deal with it?
Zizzo had an iPhone 4, man. He had an iPhone, like the first edition iPhone that was ever released. The thing
Wait,
had
iPhone's up to 4 already.
Yeah, they're up to 12. Thank you. But he did. He had like
Samsung
a very
21.
Whatever. It's just a number. But what about this big news with Angel? That she's back. She's back with Vance and Hines, and she's going to run a Suzuki 4-valve. It's kind of something we've been talking about. Pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's going to be good to have her back. It'll be interesting to see if they make an announcement at any point in the very near future about the guys. You know, as of when I was there, or whatever it's been now, 4 or 5 weeks ago, you know, Eddie and Andrew both said that they're their racing thing was kind of up in the air. They both expected to be at, you know, on track at some point during the year. But at that point, neither one of them said that they were, at that team, they were not planning to be in Gainesville. They said they weren't going to be running for the championship, but they would still have a presence. Obviously, they've got, you know, a lot of injured customers and a lot of other stuff. But if they're going to put on gel on a bike full time, I think that's great. And hopefully we'll hear something about the guys to get them back out there as well. It's just better. The class is better, the more stars that are in it. And, you know, I've been around long enough to remember when it was a shock if John Myers or Dave Schultz didn't win.
Right.
And it was a minor shock if they didn't race each other in the final. And, I mean, we're talking for 3 or 4 years. That was the whole story of the class. That's not good for the class. You know, the fans get tired of that. You've got to have personalities. You've got to have rivalries. I think one of the highlights of Pro Stock Motorcycle the last couple of years was Matt Smith and Steve Johnson. You know, and Matt basically called him out. He said, look, if you're going to complain, you know, put some time into your program. And I think that Matt was proven to be right.
And you Steve know, did. He
Steve
motivated
started diving
Steve.
Into his program. All of a sudden, his performance came up. But I think you need that. You know, you need the personalities out there to, you know, to go up head-to-head against each other. You need something for the fans to root for. Angel is certainly a big fan favorite. And, you know, I know that she still hates Eddie, but, you know, maybe they can figure that out.
Maybe she does.
Maybe they can figure that out with boxing gloves.
I would love to see that, but my money is on Angel. No offense, Eddie. So she's still working it out. She was just back on there, but then just dropped off. But this has given us plenty of time to talk about the hype machine that is, you know, Mission Foods. And we're getting closer and closer to the start of this. I love the fact that she's going to be on a Suzuki and that they're going to use the new technology. All right, here we go. Let's see. Here's Angel again. Angel, you're fighting it out. You're still very good. Hello. How are you?
I'm having technical difficulties. For the first time,
nobody's
having technical difficulties. I moved closer to my Wi-Fi, so maybe that'll help a little bit.
So, how excited are you about this opportunity?
Oh man, I can't. I was still laughing at what Alan said. You thought he was talking about him, and I'm also known to Alan as the girl.
What?
So that's if you would. It's just funny, but anyway, I'm so excited to be here. I've talked about this. Since yesterday morning when the stuff came out on the internet, I have not stopped talking about it. I had no idea how excited I was going to be back on a Suzuki. I thought, you know, I was going to end my career on that Harley Davidson with Vance and Hines. And when that deal was put, when they pulled the plug on it, I just, my world came to an end. I thought I was depressed. I was devastated. And then when Terry called and asked, would I love to ride the Suzuki? I was like, absolutely. So yes, I can't tell you how excited I am, and especially to bring on a fresh new face like Mission Foods to the NHRA. Kevin McKinnon and I were just talking a minute ago about how much my team loves Mexican food. Like, it's almost ridiculous how much they love Mexican food. So this is the most perfect fit for the team, and especially for me being a Cajun girl who just loves to eat. So it's going to be a great year.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You know, those Suzukis weigh less than the Harleys. Just you know, so you got to be careful with those, you know, super supreme burritos and stuff. I actually hadn't heard Mission Foods as a sponsor literally since I used to sponsor when I was doing boat racing stuff back a few years ago and kind of disappeared from motorsports. So I think, A, it's great that they are back sponsoring motorsports. It's even better that they are sponsoring NHRA. And it's even better that they're sponsoring you. Because now you're not going to send me a text message every week going, what's going on? I'm not there. I miss everybody. Because you're kind of
a
pain.
I know. I'm actually, for the first time in my life, more speechless than I've ever been. And that's pretty difficult for me. But I'm just so excited. I thank you guys when I was losing. I hope you can hear me okay, because you're still breaking up on my end. But I heard a little bit when I was trying to get back on, you talking about Eddie and Andrew. And that's one of the things I'm the most excited about, is the fact that they're going to be co-crew chiefs for my motorcycle. And that's something that I just really can't wait to see what is possible from those two guys when they don't have any other distractions. You know, they don't have to ride their own bike and deal with three different motorcycles, three different completely different animals that want three different things. They'll only have to focus on me and my motorcycle. And I feel selfish. I've said that several times. I feel a little selfish to be enjoying that idea so much. But I'm going to take it while I can get it, because I know one day of course they want to be back on the racetrack, and we're hoping that happens. But for now, they're all mine. I get to have two crew chiefs that are just amazing people, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what we can do together.
Now, I know that you are having some audio issues, and we have fought through this in the past. How happy are you that you got a win on that Harley before that program was over?
Let me tell you, I don't know. I was depressed when the sponsorship came to an end. If I had not had that win, I don't even know where I would have been, you know, the day that they told me it wasn't, that we weren't going to be racing anymore. That win is something that I needed, not just for myself personally, but I needed it for the team. I needed it for Harley Davidson. I needed it to know that I could still do this, because I've struggled ever since I came back in 2014. It's been a huge struggle. I won one race in 2016 in Englishtown, New Jersey. And then I finally got another win. I call it my second win, because it was like I started all over again from zero. So in my mind, I only have two wins, and those are the two biggest wins for me. So I'm looking forward to adding to that soon.
Alan?
Does it put extra pressure on you that you're basically going to be on, I don't know if untested is the right word, but I mean, it is a new combination, a new deal, a new, you know, Chris Bostic made a couple of runs on a four valve Suzuki last year, but I think a lot of people are expecting that the four valve is going to be a huge step forward, and you're basically riding the factory flagship, not one of the factory flagships, if that makes sense.
You know what? I'm going to take my earphones out.
I think you're just ignoring me.
I think that's what it is, Alan. I think that she's chosen to ignore you.
I'm wondering. Yep. It's breaking up there so it is. Bad. Hold on. I'm sorry.
There you go. Just talk about whatever you want to talk
I'm
about.
Thinking,
can you hear me now?
So, I think I understood what you said. I don't feel any pressure right now. I'm not going to be the only one out there with that engine. You know, Corey and Joey, I think, are supposed to be running it as well. I think if there's going to be any pressure, and I hate to even talk about it because I don't want to let myself get there, but if there will be any pressure that happens to me, it's going to be the fact that I'm the only bike on the team running. You know, when there was three motorcycles, we had three chances of winning. And if I lost first round, it wasn't that big of a deal because Andrew and Eddie were probably still in. And now that's where the pressure is going to come from. I'm excited about the new engine. I'm excited about what it's capable of. I'm excited to see what Andrew and Eddie can do with it. But I know it's going to be a learning curve for all three of us, because they'll be tuning a Suzuki instead of Harley. I'll be back on a Suzuki. Haven't done that since 2007. So, yeah, that's the only thing, is I'm just going to have to tell myself that, you know, if I make a mistake and I screw up, it's not the end of the world. We'll try it again next weekend. But that's, you know me, and that's hard to do.
Courtney Ender's out there saying, so happy to hear this news. It wouldn't be the same without her original hero out there, which is kind of cool. Courtney weighing in. How different are the bikes to ride? I remember going towards the Harley. You had to change your style a lot. You worked out in the gym. You got jacked. Is that hard work going to pay off double going back to the Suzuki?
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that as hard as I had to train and as much of a challenge as the Harley Davidson was, that the Suzuki will be easier. I know it's not going to be the first way down the track, because I have to get back to the feeling of a Suzuki. Everything's going to be different, from the burnout to the turnoff. It's a completely different animal. Even the shifting, when we put the bike in gear for the burnout, it's a total different shift. You know, instead of going up, you go down, or instead of going down, you go up. Everything's different. I'm a little bit nervous about the RPMs. It's going to probably sound like the motorcycle is exploding on me, because I'm not used to those high RPMs. Like, you know, I'm used to that lower drag noise from the Harley. So it's something that I'm going to have to get used to. I'm praying to God that it's only two or three runs until I'm back there again. But we'll see what happens. I just can't say it enough how excited I am.
Angel, two things. One, are you planning to go testing somewhere before Gainesville to make a half a dozen runs? I remember when you got on the Harley, you guys actually came all the way out here to Phoenix just so you could make some runs and get comfortable with it. And the second one, if I understand correctly, the Suzuki is actually more technical than the Harley, right? It's a little less forgiving as far as shift points and that kind of thing. You've got to be right on time on the Suzuki, where you've had a little bit more forgiveness on the Harley.
Yeah, fortunately for me, though, Andrew and Eddie stayed on me with the shift points on the Harley Davidson. You know, we were trying to get every single bit out of that motorcycle that we could get. And so my shift points had to be close to perfect. And I worked real hard on that last year. So it wasn't like I was slacking on shift points because Harley was more forgiving. You're right, the Suzuki, I'm going to have to be on point with it. And it's going to take me a minute because of the differences in the sound and the feel. After so many years of doing this, you become accustomed to the way something feels and sounds, and you shift just out of habit. And I'm going to have to go back to the basics and make sure that I don't do anything out of habit, and I do it exactly when the motorcycle wants it to happen. So that's another thing that I'm going to have, I'm going to be working on and testing, is, you know, keeping the throttle open, even when I think the bike is exploding, and push that button and the light comes on. That's going to, back to the basics.
So you are going to go somewhere and do some testing before Gainesville, make a bunch of runs on that thing?
Yes, definitely. We'll be running the week of Gainesville. Fortunately, NHRA is allowing us to test at Gainesville as well. So we'll put as many runs as we can afford to. We won't have a whole bunch of engines to go, you know, to stick in there if anything happens. So we'll be taking it easy on the motorcycle, but, you know, getting the most that we can.
That's fantastic. And to be able to have this opportunity, we know the story about Harley and everybody wondering, like, what's going to happen with Vance and Hines. And to think that the culmination of all of the past couple of years story is now you on the bike with Andrew and Eddie trying to make sure that you've got what you need and advance this four valve program that they've got going on. And this is a big step forward for the Pro Stock Motorcycles, the four valve program. They want to win. That's business for Vance and Hines. And you're kind of the face of that. You got a new sponsor. This is all looking good. This is like more good news here at the start of 2021.
It is, you know, because the start of 2021 for me wasn't that great. I had some health issues in my family. My mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. She's doing fantastic, though. My dad has prostate cancer. He was doing really well, and then it came back. So we're trying to figure out where it is now. So 2021 seemed like it was going to be just like 2020. But we got some good news with racing that lifted my mom and my dad's spirits, my whole family, as a matter of fact. My daughters are excited. Ava was a little mixed. She hates when I'm gone, but she loves going to the races. And then the biggest thing for me, when you was mentioning the whole team and Eddie and Andrew, is I'm trying to decide how I'm going to feel about Eddie bossing me around. You know, he's my biggest rival on the team. I only had to deal pretty much with Andrew last year, tuning me and coaching me. Eddie put his 2 cents in every once in a while, and I really appreciate it. Actually, Eddie and I got to be very close last year from rider to rider partners, you know, standpoint. He had a lot of good input, so I'm so glad he's going to be part of it too. He's our track guy for sure. He knows everything about the tracks, and the two of them together, you know, bossing me around. And I'm a pretty good listener, I think. So as long as I can do my job, I know they're going to do theirs, and it's going to be an amazing year.
Hey, let me ask you this. When we get to, I'm thinking like Richmond or Reading or someplace like that that's got, you know, like a well-forested pit area, you and Eddie come in a day early, and I'm going to get you guys both paint guns, and then I'm just going to sit back and laugh.
Love it.
I would prefer a jiu-jitsu mat unless we could take it to the ground, but he's already told me several times since I joined the team a couple of years ago that the second I try to do any jujitsu on him, he's going to punch me right in my face.
Guys from Jersey, man. He's holding it down for the Jersey guys right there.
Yeah, he said he's not afraid to hit a girl, but I haven't tried anything on him yet, but let's see how this year goes. You never know. You know, he's going to be the one telling me what to do right alongside of with Andrew. And if I make any huge mistakes and he gets aggravated enough with me, you never know what's going to happen between the two of us.
That's awesome. Alan, any final questions?
It's going to be great to have you back out there. It's great to know for sure that we're going to have you back out there. And hopefully we get the boys back on track too. I'm just thinking, if 5 years ago you and I had sat down and I said, okay, Angel, give this a little thought. A few years from now, not only are you going to be riding for Vance and Hines, you are going to be the only rider for Vance and Hines. Would you have placed any bets on that?
Yeah. Absolutely not. You know, it's funny that you say that, because how many times did we say, did you ever think you'd be riding a Harley Davidson for Vance and Hines? And I would have never believed that that would ever be possible. But you are so right. I would have bet anything and everything that me being the only rider for Vance and Hines was never going to happen. So I don't know how long that'll be. Like I said, hoping that they'll both be out there with me soon. But for right now, I'm going to enjoy it.
That is great. Angel, thank you so much for joining us on WFO Radio Live with a little breaking news about your 21 season and sponsorship and racing for Vance and Hines and a new bike and all that stuff. This is exactly what people want to hear at this time of the year to get fired up for the Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals. Thank you for jumping on. Short notice, big surprise. I really appreciate it, and thank you, and I just wish you good luck. I can't wait to see you on the bike.
Thanks, guys. I'm sorry about my issues, too. Hope you could understand me. WFO.
Thank you, Angel. Appreciate it. There she goes. Angel Sampe, the three-time champ, and I think it is great news, Alan. I think it is great news. She's got so many fans out there, and I remember being the kid in the grandstands when Angel first started rolling out and, like, seeing how, she was small, and now that she's like jacked and, if I was in Eddie's situation, I might be a little afraid. No wonder he went immediately to the intimidating move. It's a joke, by the way, all you people out there. Eddie is not going to slug her. She would put him out too quick. He wouldn't even have a chance to make a move.
The two of them, though, they are quite entertaining when they just, kick the shoes off for lack of a better term. And start sniping at each other and start going back and forth. They are, they both, let's just say that they both provide each other with motivation that is fun to watch.
Yes, exactly. And speaking of kids who are out there watching, who is involved in this story, Andrew is out there. I was a kid too when she came out there, LOL. Yeah. And I guess we should just get off of this topic, right? Because this is a, aging. And look at Michael Phillips. LOL, Alan Fatt.
Oh, come on, Mike. Hey. I'm going back in the right direction.
Michael Phillips doesn't care about any of the stuff we just said. He's just going at Alan. He's just attacking Alan immediately about being a little bit, being a round number.
Do you know that story?
No. Tell us.
When he came back to whatever Indy race it was, and first time he'd been at the racetrack, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years or 100 years or whatever it's been. It took him a while for his probation officer to let him leave the state and go racing again.
Perfect sense.
And I like Michael Phillips. I mean, if you don't know him, he is like overflowing with personality and outgoing and just like a genuine good guy, sort of. And so I swung by the trailer and I said, "Hey, man, good to see you. It's been a few years." And he went, "Boy, have you put on a lot of weight." And I'm like, "Really? Not nice to see you. Not happy to be back. Not, yeah." So That's what that's all about. And all right, Michael, whatever. Remember, there will be a lot of people in the grandstands this year when I make fun of you on the starting line. Remember that.
Watch out. Don't battle it out with the guy with the microphone. I had a similar situation a couple of years ago. I think it was Billy Glidden. I went walking back there and he's like, "Joe, you're so fat." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh. Billy Glidden decides to tell me how fat I am. I must actually be pretty fat." And so I have since then, Billy, thank you very much, I have gotten on a moderate fitness regimen. So I'm less fat, but not completely thin. But good job, Michael Phillips. Yeah. Michael Phillips, one of my favorite pro stock motorcycle racers, because he'll get in, he'll talk the smack. He'll talk the talk. Come and take you whooping. We've even got audio clips of Michael. I would love to see him on a quick and fast bike so we could get out there and just mix it up. He makes it fun. He, Eddie, Matt Smith, like those guys, they will just talk. They know what people want to see. They all come up through that world of like being at a track in the middle of nowhere and there's no cameras or anything, except people are still talking. That's the fun of the race. And so I would love to see him out there on a fast bike ASAP. But great for Angel. That's the news of the day.
Right on.
See, this guy says that you rock. And another guy said, "Thank you for helping him with his practice tree a little bit earlier." I don't know that story exactly, but you helped Mark Watkins set up his practice tree, he says. Round is a shape.
Cool. Happy to help.
There you
go. I'm just a wonderful guy, Joe. I'm just a wonderful guy.
No, I know. I know that that's definitely the image that you want to put out there on WFO. Absolutely.
What's Courtney say? I can't read that.
But now you're on the Fitter program.
That's right.
Fitter. Not quite fit. Fitter. Exactly. Well, you don't have to be. Well, Courtney is a very fitness oriented person. And she just says, make less bad choices. You don't have to stop making bad choices. That's crazy. Just make fewer. Like, try to make fewer bad choices. Should I have a couple?
I reached out to Courtney towards the end of last season. And I said, look, give me a couple of things. Okay. I'm not going to completely change my life. I'm not going to never have another beer. I'm not going to spend 18 hours on a treadmill a day. I said, just give me a couple of things that'll help. And she gave me a list of things, and I've been kind of following her stuff. So I send her a picture of my bathroom scale every once in a while with a little thank you note and, you know, made a little more progress note. And, you know, if she would ever respond to my text, that would really be nice. But other than that,
it's a one-way communication.
The thing with Courtney is that, you know, she thinks I like Erica best. And the only reason she thinks that is because every time I see Courtney, I tell her I like Erica best. So she gives me a hard time about that.
You're doing psychological warfare with people, man. That's not nice. Speaking of Erica, though, this past weekend at Orlando Speed World, the winter warm-up first NHRA Southeastern Divisional race, Erica was there running competition eliminator. Apparently the elite squad got an idea late in the week. Like, let's go to Orlando. They sent the trucks out there, and Richard wins the deal. Richard goes out there, you know, ends up qualified second, same ET, you know, 686 under, but Joe Arrowsmith actually went out first, and Richard wins the race over Taylor Chmisky, and Taylor went red in the final. I know he was probably gutted about that because he had a great race day, but Richard, the first winner in comp eliminator of the 70th anniversary season of the NHRA.
Richard Freeman, the point leader in comp eliminator. I got to tell you, if I'm Erica, yeah, I'm thinking, you know, now picture this. Okay. I mean, we just talked to Angel. If Terry Vance said, I'm going to get on the motorcycle next week and won, wouldn't you be going, uh-oh, this guy owns all the stuff. He can do anything he wants. He doesn't really need me anymore. You think Eric is nervous about that?
I don't. I do not think Eric is worried about it at all. Like, I don't think it has entered her mind. But it was great, the star power, you know, to be up there and saying, like, here's our four-time pro stock champion in the Camping World Drag Racing Series running comp. The people at Orlando, we didn't have tons of fans, but we had, you know, quite a few people coming out, sitting in the stands, like getting in their seats half hour before the first cars went down the racetrack, staying until the last pair in the same two seats. It was pretty crazy. But it was a lot of fun. Richard won. Lincoln Moorhead in super stock. He was dialed in, man. You could see Lincoln out there just clicking him off. Big win in the final over last year's winner, Mark Nowicki, and he picked up the win. It was cool. And he was like, yeah, I guess I still got it.
Yeah, Lincoln has been on, I don't know if vacation's the right word, but he's been definitely spending a little more family time and business time. But, you know, I don't think there's any question that he's got, you know, he's got good equipment. And like anything else, you know, when you get in the zone, and it's interesting when you talk to those guys, whether it's him, whether it's Peter, whether it's, you know, whether it's Timmy DeFrank, whether it's Austin Williams, whether, you know, pick, that sometimes you just see him and go, could be his day to day. You know, it just looks like, you know, you can just see that they're oozing confidence and that they're locked in. So, you know, when you get a day like that, you got to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. And stock eliminator was Blake Hickman. Robert Houston won in super comp. Super gas was John LaBoose. And top dragster was Anthony Bertazzi. And Anthony came on the show last week, and I asked him the question we talked about. So the first and most important thing to me is we have proven that WFO radio is definitely not bad luck. Like, I'm not saying we're good luck, but we're not bad luck, because Anthony was on and he won the race and Boos won the race and they just cleaned house in a big weekend in top dragster. Well, I just like to, you know, hey,
that's
come on. What's that?
That's a double up. Anthony owns a car that LaBoose is driving. That's a double up.
That's what I'm saying. It's like our show is not bad luck to come on to all the people like right before you race. Like, maybe it's even good luck. But Anthony said in response to why do the winners win? You may recall we were talking about that. What do they have? What do they do? And he just laid it out. It's in the archive for everyone that he, you know, he stays focused on it. He gives it his all. His head is in the game the whole time. He tries not to make silly mistakes, and he's really, you know, focused on what's going on with the car. And like, to me, that sounds like really working hard to stay in the zone.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, if you don't have to worry about your car, and Anthony has always had good equipment, well-maintained, and got people that make sure that he doesn't have to worry about that. And all you have to worry about is the task at hand. And You know, that's one of the real difficult things, the psychological part of the game. But it's something that, Frank Holley talks about extensively. If you ever go through one of his classes, and if you haven't, do it. I don't care how good you are or think you are. But it's just fascinating that, you know, the mental part of the game, you know, if all you do is drive the car and you got 100% confidence in your car and you don't have to think about anything else, that's doing one job. But if you're going up there going, gee, I hope I got the clutch right. Did I set the rear tires? I shouldn't have moved that bar in the four link. All of that stuff jumbles up in your head and it keeps you from focusing on what you're supposed to be doing at that exact moment, which is driving the car. And, you know, that's, it's just a big part of it. But, you know, the mental game is huge. And, you know, Anthony, like I said, I think that, you know, I think preparation is a big part of it. And, you know, obviously when you get in the zone, you're in the zone. And, you know, how you get there would be a beautiful thing. If you could ever figure that out, tell people, okay, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Take this pill and you'll be in the zone. You would have more money than Jeff Bezos right now. But, you know, nobody knows how to get there. But when you're there, it's like, man, ride it. Because you also never know when you're just going to fall out of it.
Oh, I know how to get in the zone. In fact, I'm going to be selling like a 5-part program on WFO Radio. It's a downloadable PDF. It's only like $59.99. You can buy it and I will teach you all how to be in the zone once I receive enough entries. Doug Gabur and Top Sportsman. But the story of the week for me, and I wanted to share this one with you, came from Super Street. And it's a young racer named Alden Rollins. And what's cool about it is the Rollins family were originally from like the West Palm Beach area. And so in the early 90s, when I was doing a fair amount of bracket racing, either in street cars or in my Trans Am, the Rollins family would be out there. And, the dad was Chip Rollins. And the two boys that are approximately my age were John and Jason Rollins. And then after a while, they moved up to Gainesville Raceway area and always kept track of them. But, you know, pre-social media, that was much more challenging. Post-social media, it's much more easy to catch up with people you know and racers you respect, etc. Well, anyway, about, I'm gonna guess, like 10 days ago, Chip Rollins passed away. And the word goes out there, like among the locals, like, hey, man, Chip passed away. And everyone is giving their condolences. And I started thinking about, you know, just memories of back in the day at Palm Beach and the boys. And they were tough racers, man. They were good. Well, I go up to the track and I wondered, like, would they be there? And sure enough, John was out there racing, and John's son, Alden, who is 18 years old and was participating in his first ever NHRA Southeastern Divisional race, all right, in Super Street. And I thought to myself at the time, like, boy, it would be really cool if John could win the race for his dad. And it was in my mind the whole time. But, you know, John had a problem, broken axle early on. The kid, Alden Rollins, from the same area, and I had never met him because it's been many, many years. But I did some quick math and I talked to some people and reached out to some people. It's John's son. Well, guess what? This kid is going round after round after round. Next thing you know, he finds himself in the final round, and this is the final round, and he wins the race in his first time out for his grandfather who had passed away the week before. And that family was just beaming because, you know, who knows what everybody thinks about the afterlife and all of that. But I know Chip was there and happy as heck to watch his son and his grandson hoist a Wally at the end of the race of Orlando. It was, I'm emotional now thinking about it. It was awesome. The kid did such a great job. And I was just thrilled to have a story like that to tell. That it was genuinely connected to me and my life, and everybody was into it. Erica came over in the winner's circle and congratulated him. It was a big deal. To me, that was the story of the race. Everybody's got a good start to 2021, but that one was just like a little extra icing on the cake.
No, that's cool. That's it's funny the way things work out like that. And I think, you know, no matter what you believe as far as afterlife, there's times when things come up that just make you go, okay, come on, really?
Right.
And, you know, when it works out that way, it's really cool. The kid should retire.
One for one.
Done. Quit. You know, that NHRA race, that's easy. I did it once. I won. You know, give me a challenge. Let me do something else. But no, that's cool. It's nice when you have stories like that you can kind of follow through the weekend.
Yes. And I think we might try to have Alden on the show in the coming weeks or so. And the thing is, the Southeastern Division, Alan, they're going to South Georgia Motorsports Park in a couple of weeks. Then they're going to the Baby Gators. They're going to have three divisionals and a national in the books, I think, before anybody else gets started. Like, this is where people need to race at the start of the year.
Yeah, you know, if Richard Freeman keeps it up, he could have the championship locked up, you know, by the time we get to Houston. We actually were supposed to have a race out here coming up in a couple of weeks, but, you know, Arizona being a hot spot and some of the stuff that's going on, the Tucson race has now been rescheduled down towards the end of the year. So while everybody's firing it off out in your neighborhood, when we get down towards the end of the year, you know, normally when people would come out for the Vegas-Pomona thing, and that last Las Vegas race is huge, there's going to be a Tucson race, a Phoenix race, and a Las Vegas race, all on the division or regional trail coming into the last couple of weeks of the year. So you could fire everybody off out there, and we'll bring them all out here when the championships are on the line and see who can actually close the deal.
I like that. We start early and you guys finish late. Joe Arrowsmith out there. I got to hang out with Joe a little bit. He was the number one qualifier in comp, mentioning Frank Hawley's drag racing school as one of the best things you can do to help your mental game. And he's obviously been through it, and you've spoken about it, and I've had many conversations with Frank doing the spots here on the show. Joe's got a good little deal going on. That little Pontiac GTO is hauling the mail, and he doesn't have to worry about his windows going up and down like I do.
Yeah, that car's been fast for a while. By the way, I appreciate you doing the homework for me. I got a email in my announcer box sometime towards the end of last year asking about the car and the combination, and I just somehow it ended up in my draft folder and I never did anything with it. So I finally was able to get back to that guy and answer his question about the engine combination he runs. Yeah, a little bitty, less than 300 cubic inch singing V8. That's cool. No, that's one of the reasons that comp is just so much fun. You know, about anything you can imagine. Like, what if let's find a class for it in comp and let's go see what happens.
Exactly. No, it was a great weekend, great event, broadcast on NHRA.tv, and the divisional races will be on there and they will be complimentary. Like, maybe not every single one of them, but most. The ones that are on NHRA.tv will be free. There were some people out there spreading the rumors that it was just the first couple of races and it was all an elaborate ruse for the NHRA to seize control. Like, people are crazy. We had a good time and it was a lot of fun. Now, tomorrow on the show, we got Leah Pruitt, who had a really strong year last year. The end of the year, obviously marred by that wicked crash. But I'm very excited to see Leah at the start of this year, because I really think that this is going to be her. Not that she hasn't already broken out, but you know what I'm about to say. Like, you build on a year like last year and maybe turn it into a championship year this year. And I think that this could be a year where she's right there battling to the final race against the Capco team.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope you're right. And, you know, I don't think she's going to have any problem getting focused. I know it wasn't widely publicized, but Leah's father passed away recently. The service actually was yesterday. So, you know, if she needed any extra motivation, I think that that's going to drive her. You know, her dad, who was there when she and her sister both started junior racing all those years ago, and you know, has been cheering her on throughout her whole career. So I know that that was kind of a difficult thing for her. And like I said, I think if she needed any extra motivation, that she's definitely got it there. But she's got a good team. She's got a good car. You know, the real thing is, you know, the Capco boys. I mean, right now they are, I don't know if they're head and shoulders above everybody else, but they're certainly at least head above everybody else. And, you know, just, you know, trying to keep up with them, trying to stay on their level. And that's going to be difficult. Speaking of which, you know, since we had Angel on the show,
yes,
and you're going to have Leah on tomorrow.
Yes.
You know that Leah and Angel and I have got a connection that nobody else will ever have between the three of us, that, you know, forever and ever. Amen to quote the country song.
Should we all try to guess?
We all jumped out of the same airplane.
Oh, the Golden Knights thing?
The Golden Knights thing, yeah. It was, Leah and Angel and I were all on the same airplane. And it was kind of funny that the way they load the plane, the biggest person is closest to the door because, you know, the smallest person has to scooch and, you know, do all this stuff. So obviously I'm the one closest to the door because, as Michael Phillips will be happy to tell you, I'm fat. And, you know, Leah and Angel are both further back in the plane. And so we're like cycling up and the guy opens the door and it's like, yeah, it's a long way down there. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, there's no way I can chicken out.
No,
because
they're not.
Those will never, ever let me hear the end of it. So it's like, okay, well, buckle up. You ready? Ready to roll out the door. Now, I didn't know this until later, but the two of them are sitting back in the back of the plane chatting with each other about, do we really want to do this? Is this really a smart thing? Is this really something? And then Leah says, we turned around and you were gone. And it's like, well, we got to go now. Otherwise, we will never hear the end. And Angel actually did it a couple of times. So, you know, she wasn't, I don't think that she was in chicken out mode. Of course, first time she did it, you know, she wasn't a mommy and didn't have all that other stuff.
Right.
See, yeah, that was a pretty cool day, you know, when you get to jump out of the same airplane with Leah and Angel. That's a pretty good day. And when it's a Golden Knights airplane, that's an even better day.
Well, to me, that's what sells it. I'm not a kind of guy that's going to jump out of a perfectly good airplane like Paul Lee. You know, I was a competitive skydiver and we used to make shapes in the sky as we're falling at 100 miles an hour. Not my thing. If the plane is good, I'm staying on board. But if I was going to do it, I like the Golden Knights are the guys that I would want to do it with. Like, I feel like I could probably talk myself into it for that kind of experience. That's kind of cool. You have that.
It's funny. We got a little bit off track here, but I had jumped out of an airplane before I did the Golden Knights experience. I did it. There's a place here in Arizona that's, you know, you can go one day and do a tandem jump kind of thing and do. And so I had done that before. And when we're getting ready to get on the airplane and go jump, and I've said that I was, you know, going to be the first guy out of the first plane in my class. And so, you know, we were going out to the plane, everybody's got, and the pilot is putting on a parachute. And I went, excuse me, quick question. Don't want to bother you. I know you're busy. After the rest of us get out, aren't you planning to come back and land this thing? And he went, oh, you never know. Mine won't be prepared. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's given me a whole lot of confidence. So, but, you know, when even the pilot goes, yeah, I don't know if I'll make it back with the plane or not. But
I love it. All right. So let's talk about some news, more news. And we do not have any more big surprises on the show, guys. But I thought that this was kind of a surprise, and I'm very excited about it. Dallas Glenn. Get an opportunity to run pro stock with KB Racing. And Dallas, of course, you know, Dallas and his dad, they are, you know, pro stock for life. These guys are diehard. And if people don't know Dallas, it's on them. Like, he's as hard and an intense a worker crew person on KB Racing, like total lifestyle deal. And I love a guy like Dallas getting an opportunity to drive that car.
No, I think it's cool. You know, he was able to put together a package. It's four races, at least to start, you know, and after that, you never know. Remember when Angel started with the Harley team, I believe that was four races and it turned into, look what it's turned into now. But no, I wish him the best. You know, it's a whole different animal when you get in a pro stock car, but if you can learn by osmosis, you know, he has been around it so much. And I think that, you know, you can absorb some of the nuances, and anybody that doesn't believe that, I got two words for you, Robert Height.
Yeah.
You know, from the first time he got in a funny car, he was, I don't want to say a master, but he was pretty darn good at it simply because he'd been around it so long. And it's not just a matter of, yeah, I think I know how to drive this thing, but he knows how all of the systems work. He knows what's supposed to happen. He knows, you know, mechanically, he's going to be very comfortable in the car as well. And his wife is a pretty good driver. So if he messes that up, you know, do you want to be on the other end of Sadie going, Dallas, what were you doing out there? Why would you? Know? So I think that I think good for him. I think he's going to do a good job in the car, and I think that the fans that get to know him are going to like him in a hurry. Hopefully, he's able to turn the four race opportunity into something even bigger.
Well, absolutely. Look, Jerron has got the Dallas Glenn helmet gig locked down, which is kind of
right on.
Yeah, no, Jerron.
Well, that makes him look good, no doubt about that.
Yes, definitely. Awesome for Dallas Pro Stock Dreams, says Jeff, who wants to get his license. And also Kid Chaos locking down the Lucas Oil sponsorship in KB Racing for that team. And you know, Kyle Koretsky is like, I don't know what it's like to be that kid with Captain Chaos, Kenny Koretsky, as your dad, with all the crazy, wonderful life experiences. And his nickname is Kid Chaos, but he's not very chaotic at all. Kyle is a nice kid who is a talented driver and has loved bracket racing. And just last year showed the kid will be really good. And now he's got the opportunity to show it with Lucas Oil on board. I was real happy to see that.
Well, I think the interesting thing about Kyle that probably some of the outsiders don't understand And, you know, there's always going to be that that goes, oh, well, sure, your dad's rich, and so you can do anything you want. But when Kyle went to work in his dad's business, I mean, like, started out working at a car wash, worked in the, you know, parts room, worked in the warehouse, worked in the, you know, he certainly wasn't fed the silver spoon from the time he was 3 years old. His dad wanted him to understand what it's like. And when he wanted to go pro stock racing, his dad said, okay, we have the means to do this, but here's your checklist. Before we put you in a pro stock car, you're going to do this, and 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 you're going to show me that you're committed and that you're willing to, before we even talk about making this thing happen. And he did. And so I think the fact that, you know, he understands that, yes, he's got a great opportunity, but he also knows that he's got the opportunity because he earned it, not because it was just handed to him. And he knows that he's got to keep earning it. So I think it's great. I think, you know, the fact that Lucas Oil decided to come on board with him, I think is a good move. You know, he's a young guy. He's a good looking kid. He's, you know, I think going to do well in the class. And, I think it's a win for everybody all the way around. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, how long ago was it when everybody said, oh, pro stock is dead? Yeah. Look, there's only four old guys that even care anymore.
Yep.
And, you know, now we've got Koretsky, you know, Dallas Klein. I don't know how long he's going to be there, but he's certainly going to be around for a while, I think. You certainly wouldn't call Alex Laughlin an old guy. I wouldn't. Erica is an old or guy, and she's got four championships. You know, there's just all this great talent coming on. You know, we're talking about Aaron Stanfield and
Mason,
you
know, think, Troy.
You know, yeah, there you go. Yeah, Mason McGay. But, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. And there are a lot of people that still love pro stock, even people that are fairly young compared to the founding fathers of pro stock. And when the opportunity is there, they're moving into it. So it's going to be a fun year to watch all of the categories. But I think, you know, pro stock is still as popular and certainly more competitive now than it's been in a long time.
Yeah, the connection to the divisional race is walking the pits. I got a very limited opportunity to get down into the pits, just a few minutes here or there. It rained, and so I ran down to the pits. I got to talk with some people. But pro stock is the destination there. Like, you talk to everybody, stock, super stock, comp, everybody. They talk about pro stock. What's up with pro stock? Who's running pro stock? And it's very eye-opening. I know that there are people that think that, you know, there's only fans of Nitro, and of course we all love Nitro, but pro stock, it's the destination for the sports and racer. That's where they dream of being. Pretty cool stuff. Brittany Force was on the coverage of Supercross and did an interview, and that interview has become into like big breaking news. I hope it's true, because it's been taken as true. She says, oh, we're going to see everybody in Gainesville. I hope she means
that all along.
I know, but people might be wondering, like, is she just going to be there in Gainesville? Are they going to be racing in Gainesville? Like, there is some vagary there that I hope is true. But the cat's out of the bag now. It sounds like that Brittany's going to be running in Gainesville and John Force Racing is going to be there. I'm just waiting for, like, the official press release.
If you go on the John Force Racing Facebook page and go back to Christmas Day on December 25th, they released a video that had Austin, Robert, John, and Brittany all saying, want to wish our fans a happy holidays. Hope you're enjoying the season. Can't wait to see you at the racetrack next year. We'll be back. It's not a secret. And, you know, the fact that they haven't had the official announcement, okay, here's our driver lineup, here's our sponsor lineup. They have said all along, we are sitting out 2020 so that we can continue with the company in 2021. They've said it all along. And I didn't take it as breaking news. I think it's, you know, I think it's great that, you know, Brittany was at the Supercross and she was there with her team, and, you know, but I don't, like I said, I don't see it as breaking news. I think that, you know, it's been all along. I was in John Force's shop, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. And like, what are you guys doing? Ready to go. We are like stocked up, loaded up, ready to go make some, you know, do some testing and ready to get back on track. So, you know, if that's what people needed to have confirmation and make them feel better about it, then that's great. I'm glad that Brittany went public with it. But I didn't take it as breaking news. I took it as just confirmation.
Well, I cannot wait. That's it. We are just about 5 weeks away, maybe even a little bit less, till the Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals. I am super excited. I feel like we've covered most of the big stories. And now that if we get off the air, a couple more will happen, as we know. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to throw out there?
Well, I was just, are we going to make a prediction on, you know, I guess there's a little stock car race coming up this weekend. Do you want to make a prediction on that? Or do you, you know, do you still have your tail between your legs from the Super Bowl thing? And, you know, you're just not willing to get whooped again.
You know what? I respond very well to that kind of taunting, and I am ready to make another prediction. Okay. And I'm going to try to stay uniform between the shows, because the people who checked out the Ignition show last night, honestly, Alan, the Daytona 500 has kind of sneaked up on me a little bit this year with things going on. It's Daytona week, and we've got the Clash tonight on the road course, which I think is very interesting, and then qualifying tomorrow, and the duels on Thursday, and the trucks on Friday. Tanner Gray gonna be in that race, Xfinity on Saturday, and Sunday the Daytona 500. So it's a little different with the big rollout, but I will tell you, I'm making my pick. It's just purely cosmic. It just hit me, and I feel like it's going to happen. Ryan Blaney is going to win the Daytona 500. That is my pick, and for several reasons. He's won a race each of the four last seasons, but hasn't had his big breakout year just yet. But he's a very talented race car driver, and I think that we are about to witness the big breakout superstardom year for Ryan Blaney. Now you.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because I was thinking about it this morning. You know, I listen to NASCAR radio quite a bit, and I was thinking about it this morning, and I was thinking, okay, well, if we do predictions, are we going to do one guy, or are we going to do a team? Are we going to, because, you know, I mean, when you've got Super Bowls one-on-one, right, that's
sure.
Pretty big.
Winner,
but when you got 40 cars on the racetrack, you know, could you, you know, hedge your bet a little bit? And I thought, if we did teams, I'm going to take Team Penske, because I think, one, certainly, Joey is really good. Brad is really good. They both are. And then Ryan Blaney's like a bonus, right? I mean, it's not like, okay, you know, we got these two, and well, I guess he comes with the package, because I'm really thinking that he could be the guy who saved me if I took Team Penske. I think he's going to be a front. I think he's going to be a factor. But since you took him.
Yes.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go over to Stuart Haas. I'm taking Harvick.
Okay. Well, you know, he's pretty good, that guy.
Yeah.
Kevin Harvick.
Yeah. You could have taken the 11 car, and if you'd have done that, I would have gone, come on, man, really? You're gonna take Denny?
I'm not picking a favorite to go three in a row. I'm not picking favorites. I don't go chalk. Okay, I'm as degenerate as the next guy. I got to get some odds. And I feel like Ryan Blaney, like if I was actually going to place that wager, I would get a decent payout for that. And he's got a really good shot. But what I'm most excited about is to see cars on the racetrack. And you say it all the time. I know there are some race fans that I like this and I don't like that. And this is the only thing I like. But I know you're the kind of guy that finds appreciation in everything that has to do with horsepower, racing, race strategy, and technology. And I'm with you on that. And so I'm excited, because Daytona means we're getting closer to Gainesville. And simple as that.
Well, I certainly have my favorites. You know, I mean, obviously NHRA is my favorite motorsport.
Sure.
But I don't have to put another one down to tell you that.
Right.
I can tell you I love NHRA without saying something else is awful or something else sucks. And, going to the 24-hour race a couple weeks ago was very interesting for me. It's not my style of racing. It's not the kind of cars that I normally watch, but it's engines, it's loud, it's fast, it's competitive, and it was a great experience. So, you know, maybe I'll keep a closer eye on that. Maybe if an opportunity comes up to do that again, I'll do that again. By the way, you mentioned Tanner Gray being in the truck race. Did you see Taylor's race last night?
No.
New Smyrna, leading coming out of turn four. Gets tapped in the bumper, ends up being three wide at the stripe. He ended up finishing third, but he finished third by less than a fender. And, that of course is Tanner's little brother. So, look out. There's more grays coming.
Yeah. So we have to go fight those guys then, huh? Who tapped Taylor out of the way. I got a quick Taylor Gray story. If you got to run, let me know. But
no, I'm good.
A couple of years ago, I forget where it was. A lot of people don't know now, I guess the statute of limitations has expired, but Taylor was working actively on the Capco Top Fuel team. And right. I noticed some kid, and I think it was in Norwalk. I don't know exactly. And I didn't really know it was Tanner's little brother or anything, but I saw a kid. And so I was like, dude, this kid, every time I see him, you know, he was like 11 or 12 years old at the time, but I didn't know that, but he was obviously a kid. Like I could tell, but he was working, like he was doing real work. You could see he wanted to work. He was, they would tell him to do something, and he would do it. He was aggressive and moving quick, not like, no offense to 11 and 12 year old kids out there, but their heads can be kind of foggy at times. I know I was like, well, what do I want to do? You could tell this kid was sharp and in the game. So I went over to him wearing my NHRA gear and I go, hey, and he goes, how old are you? And so now he thinks he's in trouble. But he's not in trouble, but he thinks he's in trouble. He's like, and I was like, you got to tell me, man. I go, oh, you're not in trouble. Oh, no, you're not in trouble. I just want to know. And he's like, I'm 12. And I was like, dude, that is so cool. And that's how I met Taylor Gray. And then I realized that he worked with the Capco team and they put him to work, real work. Like he could have been working on his family stuff. No, he found another team to adopt him. And it was to me a no doubter that he would go on to great success. And I think we're going to see him at the highest levels. And he's a great little kid, not little anymore. He's way bigger than me, not quite as big as you, but he's a great kid. And to me, that's the most important thing, that, you know, that they have done such a good job with their kids. So I'm excited. Thanks for that update on the Gray family.
Yeah. Punch it up and check it out. I think you'll find it interesting. And anyway, that's it. I'm going to go. I'm looking forward to watching the clash tonight, and I'm going to be paying attention to my stock car friends. It's good that I picked Harvick, because if I had gone with Penske, I'm sure it would have been about 12 seconds before Tony Stewart called me and went, dude, seriously? Really?
Yeah.
Not my guys.
Oh, you know? So you confess then that your pick is really just, you're just, you know, pandering.
No. I said I had considered Team Penske, but no, I'm going with, you know, Tony's still mad at me because I told everybody he was going to get his top fuel license in Vegas, so I don't want to start that thing all over again.
Tell Leah about this tomorrow. We'll see what she thinks about this whole. Hey, Kev, real quick, he says he wants to know what happened to the funny car. Kev, you got to follow Alan on Twitter. That thing's long gone.
Yeah, it came by here because it didn't have helmet bars in it. When the car was been basically in storage for a couple of years. The rule has changed. It needed to have helmet bars. So that's what it was here for. It came by here. I put helmet bars in it and it went back home to get put together.
There you go. All right, Alan. Great job. A lot of fun. Thank you. Big appearance, big surprise, all kinds of good stuff. And we'll talk to you next week. Good luck to your pick. But I really think, you know, Ryan Blaney, man, he's the guy.
I think it wouldn't surprise me if they're both in the top five. It'd be fun if they're like, you know, coming to the stripe side by side, as long as my guy's that far out in front.
Gotcha. All right, Alan. Thank you.
See ya.
Here he goes. NHRA's Alan Reinhart with us here on WFO. We kept Alan for an hour and 7 minutes. Boy, this guy every week, he's always doing great stuff for us here on WFO Radio. And if you like what you're hearing or you like what you're seeing, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, everywhere you get your podcast. Also YouTube, subscribe, click the bell, and let's do Daytona 500 picks. Put your comments in the comment section. Your pick and your final comment of the show. Let's see what everybody else has to say. All right. Let's see what you guys have to say. And if you would like to join our WFO Radio Fantasy NASCAR League, which, you know, right back there, the Fantasy League trophy with all of those names that have been earned the spot. The first one is WFO Joe, though. I am a past champion. Back when it was really hard, when we had like 14 leagues. On XM satellite radio, but listen to the Ignition show. In the first 10 to 20 minutes, you get the information, but it's driver group. I'll just tell you, you want to be in the fantasy league? I'm trying to get the listenership up on the Ignition show. We had so much fun reviewing the Super Bowl commercials, etc. But drivergroupgame.com is the website. You create an account, obviously, and the group ID is 613. 613. And the password is capital letters WFOR lowercase ADIO number one, all one word. WFOR lowercase ADIO one, all one word, all squished together. That's your password. And the group ID is 613 and it's WFO radio. And we do not have limited entries, and usually 20% quit after the first week because they realize that they don't have what it takes. That's it. And I encourage you to come up with a fun or funny team name. All right. So while everybody's putting their Daytona 500 predictions in our comment section, I'm going to tell you how you can get a WFO radio face covering by going to WFOradio.com and clicking the store And for just $10, you could get a face covering, which you still need. As you know, there's those variants out there, all kinds of stuff. You need face covering. They're telling you wear two of them now. My goodness, man. You wear two of them. I shouldn't tell this story, but I will. You know, somebody came up to me in Orlando and they were a little bit, they weren't wearing a face covering. And I felt a little like, and I was like, hey, do you have coronavirus? And I'm like, no. And I was like, how do I know that? And they're like, oh my gosh, super sorry. Yeah. And it was a great apology. But that's the thing, man. You got to have one of these face coverings and you might as well have it be a WFO radio face covering. And they fit real well. And it can be like the fifth or sixth one that you wear. And they're just $10. And you get a couple of WFO stickers with it. Also, and if you want to get free WFO radio stickers, you can go to the WFO store. There's an address. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope. And I'll throw in a couple of WFO stickers for free. Joe Arrowsmith put some on his car this past weekend. And of course, I was humbled and honored for all weeks in the future to be known as Hunterd. Thank you, Joe, for doing that. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, the best coffee from around the world, simply as that. Roasted fresh per your order. Plus, he's got hot sauces and spice rubs and everything great. He ships it out all around the world. We got literal WFO listeners all around the world ordering Rodax coffee, nitro-themed blends, drag racing, Marvin Rodak, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. He is a big sponsor of Funny Car Chaos, and they'll be racing down there at the Texas Motorplex. And all you Funny Car Chaos people, we're giving you love because of Marvin. That's how it works. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Start your education at full speed. Judson Massengill, here's what I challenge you to do. If you are someone who is interested in the engine building trade or machinist trade or CNC machining, etc., go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe to the Hidden Horsepower Podcast and find the one with Judd Massengill and listen to Judd about the origins of Samtech. He lays it all out and it will inspire you. You'll want to be involved. And who knows where you go with it. Speaking of Total Seal, Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. Did you know that over 40% of your engine's friction comes from your piston rings? Yes. And that's why you need to go to TotalSeal.com. They can help you unlock that hidden horsepower. Frank Hawley getting a lot of love on the show this week, right? Five of last year's champions came from Frank Hawley's drag racing school. And Joe Arrowsmith, for instance, the number one qualifier out there in Orlando, said, got his mind right. Alan talking about getting his mind right. Like, you got to have your mind right. And that's what Frank can do. If I was bracket racing on a regular basis, there would be no doubt I would go through Frank Hawley's school just to get my mind right. Big shout out to the folks at NitroFishRacing.com, Bo and Randy Lynn. Bo Butner going to be promoting that race after the Gator Nationals. They haven't asked me to talk about it, though. Haven't asked me anything about it. It was like, hey, Joe, you want? They don't need Costello. I get it. NitroFishRacing.com. Thank you very much for giving us that promo code. And got to mention shout out our Patreons. These are people that are crazy. They're crazy people. Patreon.com/WFO radio. They pay a monthly membership to be a part of the WFO universe and get all kinds of bonus stuff behind the scenes that they don't know if it's ever going to come. And they might not, it might never come. And yet they still pay a monthly membership for WFO radio. All right. Final chance. Put your comments in the comments section and we'll see what you guys got to say. Your pick for the Daytona 500, etc. Let me see. Well, let me go back to people of importance. Let's see. Okay. Mark Watkins. Mark, we need your t-shirt size, by the way, bud. Martin Truex Jr. That's a great pick. Truex is always a great pick. Courtney Enders. What's Courtney got to say? Great show, y'all. Got me through filling out these hard card applications. Yeah, I filled out mine, Courtney, and they like, oh, we didn't get it. Got to fill it out again. So I got to dive in right after this and do some busy work. But I got to hang out with E this past weekend. It's so great that they were out there. You know, the star power of a four-time pro stock champion. It's a real thing. Erica's got it. Thank you, Courtney, for watching our show. I'll take Larson for the 500. Will be the perfect way to cap off the greatest 12 months of the in the history of motorsports. Kyle Larson is an uber talent, simple as that. And also, you know, if you want to call it vindication, just coming back, doing the right thing. We read the letter that he wrote on the air, and he didn't write the letter on the air. We read it on the air. He wrote it, and you know, how do you not like the kid? kid went right at his issue, which was just a slip of the tongue. It wasn't right, but you could tell there was no malice in it. He wasn't doing something with hatred in his heart, and he recognized it and is doing everything he can do to make it right. And he's getting another opportunity. I'm a big believer in second chances and even third chances. I really am. What's in your heart? Kevin Harvick. So he's piling on with Reinhardt, says Harvick. Robert says, get Larry Dixon on the show. Also, the petty car for Daytona is beautiful. Yeah, well, saw that Armorall logo, which looked pretty cool, Robert. Larry Dixon has been a WFO favorite since the very beginning. We would love to get Larry on the show. That would be, I don't think, too hard either. We'll reach out to Larry. But I really am kind of hoping that Larry has some news for us. There's nothing worse than talking to a racer. Not, there's a lot worse. But talking to a racer, and you know that they want to have news. And they're working on news. And news is maybe coming. But when you have them on, they can't talk about any of it. And so I'm kind of waiting for Larry to have the news. But who knows? I don't care about what Johnny Gray. Johnny Gray is a great guy, and I still got a, he's got a bunch of Sinatra stuff he was telling me about. Ask Alan what happened to the funny car. That's where you can see how. What's up, Joe, is what this person is saying. Let's see. Derek says, are you still having the Pro Stock motorcycle fuel rebuttal discussion? Can't who remember it was that wanted to tell the other side. Yes, it was Tim Kalungian, and he still wants to do it. And he and I are texting back and forth. And I feel a little bad because Tim was in the queue to be on the show. But then the Angel breaking news happened, and I invited Angel on the show immediately to dive in with Alan. Because Angel and Alan are friends. They jumped out of a plane together. But yes, Tim Kalungian will be on the show because he's a different kind of conversation. You know, a very highly intelligent individual tuner. And he will give us, you know, the real deal on the fuel from his perspective. Jeff says, another one, good one, Joe and AR. Congrats to Angel. That is good news for all of PSM. I agree. Joey for the win. Joey Logano. Joey Logano is always a threat at Daytona. Guys, the goods. Carl says, my cash is on Kyle. Which Kyle? Carl, you're not going to slip one in on us like that. Kyle Busch, the guy who is doing these M&M's commercials and driving over people's lawns in the Super Bowl commercial, or Kyle Larson? Brad Keselowski, but also like Harvick. Brad K, very tough. Just signed up this morning. I'll take Michael McDowell in an upset. Great show, Joe, says Eric Olson. Signed up for what? For the, I think Eric is one of our Patreons. He must mean the Fantasy League. Yes, get in the Fantasy League, everybody. Look, you can start off and then quit because you don't have what it takes and fail, be a failure. You can do it. It's okay. You're only mocked a little bit. Love my WFO radio face covering, says Monica. Great show takes Kyle Larson, says George. Thank you, George. Kev's going to go for Kevin. No reason why, because he's great. Thank you, Mark. That's just solving one of my problems. You're appreciated. With the extra large, all the WFO Patreons are going to be the first to get the new WFO radio t-shirt. They're going to be the first, and they're getting it because they're Patreons. Just one of their great benefits. Like, you kick in a monthly for the show and you're going to get some stuff. What's the stuff? I don't know. In this case, we got shirts and they're going to get it. Going to do Frank Holly School in Denver. I like it. Good luck racing this weekend. Yes, it is my intention to go out to Palm Beach on Saturday morning once again and try again. With my 2005 GTO, and I'm going to video the whole thing again. I'm going to try to make it a little bit tighter, though. I know nobody has 27 minutes to watch me go out there and race. I get it. We're going to be a little tighter with our content, but yes, I'm going to race again this weekend, weather permitting. Got 50% chance of shower. Luke, what's up, Luke? I owe Luke a beer. Luke bought me a beer out there in SEMA show a couple years ago. One of our listeners down there in Oz. And I think Luke was telling me, Luke, I was just thinking about you this morning about, are you the one who told me about how Australians combine their words? Like there are, like he's teaching me the Australian lingo that, and yeah, there was like 10 different things where you take this and you take that and it's like a whole sentence and you make one word out of it. And Nooner was one of them. Thanks, Luke. Shoot, I missed it. Now it's Joe or how, depending on whether Kyle is talking. Ha ha. I don't know what you're talking about. Carl, easy money. Easy money. I put the bathrooms in this joint. Kyle Larson, thank you for clearing that up. And yes, Fantasy League, first year. Well, good luck. Good luck. It's not easy. It's not easy. That's for certain. These guys take it serious. And there's a lot of people been in there a lot of years that haven't done anything. I'm talking squat. Nothing. Well, this has been a long show, guys. Hour and 20 minutes on WFO. You can see that I was fired up. But then again, we did have Angel and Alan, and we're making picks and we're having fun. For those of you who hung tight on the whole show, thank you. I appreciate it. The podcast, they're going to love it. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud. This is really all a podcast show, our podcast listeners. And you can share the show with your friends, and we're looking for a big push here at the start of 21. Very excited. I'll be out there announcing the World Door Slammer Nationals in Orlando Speed World. We're going to do some stuff promoting that in the coming weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then the Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals. It's going to be fun. And we're going to get this thing launched, baby. We're going to get off the ground in 21. Cheetos commercial was bad. I didn't like it either. And I love Mila Kunis. Like, I love Mila Kunis. Especially younger Mila Kunis. But that's terrible, right? But it's honest. But I didn't like that commercial. But the one I hated the most was for that Funky Buddha hard cider stuff with the little faces and the big face. Like two faces. What kind of crazy stuff was that? That's like Monkey Baby. I'm not into that. The best commercial? I like the Lombardi thing at the beginning. Anything with Vince Lombardi walking around like motivating me. Vince Lombardi is one of the greatest motivators ever. He could just tell me stuff and I'll do it. But it was a good deal. Fun Super Bowl. And yes, I admit it, I liked the weekend. You guys don't get the weekend. That's because you're old, as am I. But I got it. All right, everybody, that's going to do it. Thanks to Alan Reinhardt. Thanks to Angel. And thanks to all you people out there in the WFO universe and our great sponsors. Really appreciate all of you. We'll see you next time on WFO. Remember, Leah Pruitt tomorrow, 4 p.m. WFO!
I love WFO radio.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.